Friend, your character is revealed by your conduct. In our last study, Paul listed the fruit of the Spirit, the character qualities the Holy Spirit produces in the Christian life. Now, as we dive back into Galatians 5 and 6, Paul wraps up his letter by telling us how these character qualities are to be demonstrated in our daily lives. Join Stephen as he explores what it means to serve, assist, and support others in today's lesson.
In his classic book on prayer, author Ian Bounds writes that conduct is what we do, character is what we are. And is that ever true, beloved? Character is revealed by conduct. Well, in our last study, Paul listed the fruit of the Spirit, the character qualities the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the Christian. And now Paul wraps up his letter by telling us how those character qualities are going to be demonstrated in our daily lives. The first demonstration of the Spirit-led life is here serving others unselfishly. Paul writes now in chapter 5 and verse 25, "If," or we could translate it, "since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." That's a wonderful image, isn't it? Keeping in step with someone, what does that mean? Well, that means you're matching their stride step by step. You're not running ahead of them, and you're not lagging behind them. Well, you can't keep in step with the Spirit of God and be selfish at the same time. So Paul goes on here to add a warning in verse 26. "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Well, this is the opposite, obviously, of serving others unselfishly. Now, as we come to chapter 6, Paul continues here that we're not only to serve others unselfishly, but we're to assist others with all humility. He writes here in verse 1, "If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." In other words, when another believer falls into sin, we're not supposed to stand around and talk about him. We are to attempt to restore him. The word Paul uses for restore here is used in the Gospels for mending broken nets, Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1. Well, here, Paul says that mature believers should attempt to mend the net of this person's tangled life. In other words, we don't try to keep prodigals out there in the pig pen. We should be encouraging them toward the Father's house through repentance and restoration. Now, if you're going to attempt to mend a sinning believer's life, and that's the context here, you're given a challenge here. Here's how you're supposed to act, Paul writes, "with a spirit of gentleness." That's the context here. We're to restore them with a spirit of gentleness. By the way, this word for restore was also used of a doctor mending a broken bone. Well, a doctor doesn't do that with a sledgehammer, but with tender, careful skill. So we're to have an attitude of gentleness, but we're also to be on the alert. Paul writes further in verse 1, "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." In other words, don't be so proud that you're not the one sinning, that you're the one helping. Stay alert to the fact that you could be next. Then here in verse 2, Paul writes, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this can refer to all kinds of burdens that people bear, but in this particular context, it points to the burden carried by someone who's been caught in sin. And that's quite a burden, isn't it? Well, that burden of guilt and shame, that's relieved when you're used by God to rescue them. You don't want to bury that person. You want to restore that person. We could call this the ministry of restoration. And every believer, by the way, is encouraged here by Paul to come alongside those who are burdened by sin and encourage them to repent and return to walk in step with the Spirit. Well, now Paul adds a warning here in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Again, in this context, if somebody's pride keeps them from showing compassion toward, you know, struggling believers, you know, they might think they're so much better than the average Christian out there. Well, they're deceived. They're fooling themselves. And Paul adds to this warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, let anybody who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Paul implies another warning here now in verse 4. Let each one test his own work. What he means here is that we ought to avoid comparing ourselves to other believers who've fallen into sin. That only leads us into more pride. So let's test ourselves against our own work, what God has given us to do. And if we find we're doing well, we can then boast in a positive way, that is by praising God for what he's chosen to do in and through our lives. We never boast about ourselves. Paul concludes now this particular section of thought here in verse 5 by writing, for each will have to bear his own load. That sounds like he's contradicting his earlier statement to bear one another's burdens. Well, the word for burden up here in verse 2 refers to a heavy load that's difficult for one person to bear. The word for load here in verse 5 represents a different Greek word or thought that commonly referred to a kind of a backpack of sorts that somebody carried on their back. This refers to the daily burden of chores, those daily responsibilities in your backpack. You're going to carry them throughout the day, and only you are responsible to carry them. Finally, not only should we be serving others unselfishly and assisting others in humility as a demonstration of keeping in step with the Spirit, we should also be supporting spiritual leaders with generosity. Paul writes it here this way in verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, this refers to financial support. Faithful teachers of spiritual truths are worthy of material support. We're not to be like that old deacon who prayed in a church service, Lord, you keep the preacher humble and we'll keep him poor. Well, frankly, that attitude is far too common today. The clear principle taught in the New Testament is that we're to generously provide for those who vocationally serve the Lord. So Paul's point here is actually connected to a broader principle here in verse 7. He writes, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, taken in context with what Paul is saying here, this means that if you sow sparingly toward others, including and specifically mentioning here in mind spiritual leaders who are teaching you the truth, well, you're going to miss a fuller reward from the Lord. Well, let's be clear. Keeping in step with the Spirit is demonstrated by, well, doing what's right, serving others with unselfishness, helping others with humility, supporting spiritual leaders with generosity, just, well, in a word, doing good. But doing good doesn't always pay you back immediately, does it? Well, that's why Paul warns us here in verse 9 as he writes, to not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So keep sowing the seeds of good deeds for the glory of God, and eventually you're going to have a harvest of divine blessing in God's good time. By the way, it might not arrive until you stand before him one day and he rewards you for all that seed that you sowed. But let me tell you, it's going to be worth it when you see him face to face. Well, now finally, Paul adds here in verse 10 that we should look for opportunities, he writes, to do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith, that is, fellow Christians. Well, as Paul draws this little letter to a conclusion, He seems to interrupt his own closing, his typical closing words, to make a few summary statements. He repeats here that the legalists who want to impose the Mosaic law on Christians, well, they've got self-serving motivations. They want to gain a following while avoiding persecution. They want converts, but they don't want the cross. They don't want to suffer. Well, in contrast to these false teachers, Paul writes here in verse 14 that he boasts only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the sacrifice of Christ is enough. You don't need the Mosaic law. You don't need circumcision in order to be saved. Paul repeats here again in verse 15, it offers no advantages to you. Why? Well, because salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Paul writes here in verse 16, as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Well, the rule here he refers to is the gospel of grace, and that gives us peace, that gives us mercy with God. And it's interesting, Paul calls us here the Israel of God. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean, as some suggest, that we've replaced the nation of Israel. We know from Scripture Israel is going to be restored one day in the kingdom. It simply means that those who believe the gospel are truly the chosen people of God. So today, beloved, here's what we need to do. We need to keep in step with the Spirit of God. That's going to mean we're going to be actively looking for opportunities to do good things, good deeds, all for the glory of God, not for ourselves, but for Him. Well, with that, we complete our wisdom journey through this wonderful letter to the Galatians and to you and to me. Until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Keeping in step with the Spirit means serving others unselfishly, assisting others with humility, and supporting spiritual leaders with generosity. By doing good for the glory of God, you fulfill the law of Christ. For more resources and insights into God's Word, visit our website at wisdomonline.org. We have a collection of biblically faithful resources designed to help you walk wisely through life. Join us next time as we continue our journey through Scripture, discovering timeless truths for our daily walk.